But he was even.
Hey, we want to welcome to our microphones right now, Michael Pack. Michael Pack is going to join us and talk about a book about Clarence Thomas. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be on.
In
hey,
studio.
Michael, it's Roger. We had dinner recently.
We did, Roger. I'm glad to see you, you know, meet you, talk to you again, you know, via the radio.
So, Michael, you are the co-author of a book about Clarence Thomas. Tell us about Clarence Thomas.
Well, I mean, people think they know Clarence Thomas, but I think if they see the movie and read the book, they will know a lot more about Clarence Thomas. Both of them are based on a 25-hour interview I conducted with Justice Thomas several years ago over a couple of months. And we used a lot of that material in our two-hour film. And what we didn't get into the film, my co-author Mark Paillette and I put into a book. And he has a great life story. You probably know this. Roger certainly knows this. He came from dire poverty in the segregated South, raised by a grandfather, was functionally illiterate, really, but was a great man to him. And from that background of dire poverty, he went to the made it to the Supreme Court. It's a great American success story, an inspiring story with lots of twists and turns. And, you know, it begins with his being born in Pinpoint, Georgia in 1948, a Gullah Geechee speaking area just outside of Savannah. So English wasn't his first language. He was raised in a shack. His father left before he could remember, so he had no father, really. And then his mother took her two boys from Pinpoint to Savannah. And as Justice Thomas said, he exchanged rural poverty for urban squalor. And there his mother worked as a maid, and he was hungry and cold in the winter. And she bring him to school, and he would just leave school and wander the streets. And after several years of that, really grinding poverty of a kind we seldom see in America anymore, his mother felt she couldn't raise her two boys and brought them to her father, his grandfather, to raise. And that changed his life. That turned his life around. His grandfather was this powerful, forceful figure. The first thing he said to the two boys was, "The damn vacation is over." And they were thinking, "What vacation? We just came from dire poverty." And he made them work hard, gave them discipline, hard work, values, sent them to Catholic school. It was all black Catholic school, but run by Irish, because it's still the segregated South, run by these Irish nuns. And they too supported those values, hard work, discipline, a rigorous curriculum. Justice Thomas thrived, and he so much so that he wanted to be a priest, something not a lot of people know about him. He entered the seminary, and this is the late 60s now, and this was a all-white seminary. He was one of the first to black people to desegregate it. And there he started to experience racism and got caught up in the furor of the times, the politics of the times, and began to lose his vocation and shift to the left. And when he was watching TV with some white seminarians in 1968, the day Martin Luther King Jr. was shot, one of the seminarians said, "I hope that SOB dies." Justice Thomas was appalled and shocked, as he should have been, and rejected the church, rejected his grandfather's values, became, as he said, an angry black man where race and racism explained everything. And he went through this radical period. Another thing people don't know about him, he, like Malcolm X and Rap Brown and Angela Davis, and you know, his grandfather kicked him out of his home, didn't like that he had lost his vocation, didn't like that what he had become, threw him out. Justice Thomas was cast out, had to go wherever he can get a scholarship, Holy Cross. So he continued his radical career, inviting Black Panthers to speak. And I think Roger but especially Roger, who had a period like that, can identify it.
No kidding.
No kidding. The 60s, you know, it was the late 60s, or, you know, and it was he, like Roger, was on the left and understands it, like Roger, from the inside.
The migration of Clarence Thomas is absolutely fascinating, and I tell you did a great job in your film, and I'm sure in the book is true also that way.
Well, that's...
I've already read excerpts of it, and it's terrific.
I do not feel I do justice telling the story. He tells the story, in his words, direct to camera. He's a very moving and good storyteller. And I hope the film and the book do justice, but my short summary does not.
The book is created equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words. Let me ask you this, Michael Pack. You've had a very illustrious career as a documentary filmmaker, worked in you were on the Voice of America, right? Or the head of that that agency, right?
That's right. The parent agency.
The parent agency.
U.S. Agency for Global.
Yeah, a very important
agency for global media.
Job. Tell us about this, Michael. I have two questions for you. What kind of guy in person is Clarence Thomas?
Well, you know, he is, you know, it's always shocking to meet somebody who has been traduced by the media. You know, they portray him as misanthropic and quiet and not given to speaking. But he is really quite the reverse. He has a lot of charm. As I say, he's a great storyteller. He has this great booming laugh that he's famous for. He loves people. He's really engaged and interested in people, all people, you know, not just the rich and powerful. And he has a lot of charm. I have to say that in my interview with him, he has a very tough life, and he had a he had to overcome many obstacles, and it wasn't easy talking about it. But at the end of every session, interview session, he would stay for lunch, and then you would see his charm and his warmth. And he took an interest in all the young people on the set. My son was a production assistant. There was another one. And he always remembered what they told him, and he encouraged them to study and go to school and remembered all their problems. And that is not uncommon. You know, Justice Sotomayor recently talked about how he does that at the Supreme Court and knows everybody who works in that building. And that's what he's like. And it's very different from the media image. But we probably on this call know well that the media doesn't.
Yeah, I would totally ratify that, because I met him by accident at a party many years ago. I talked to him for 10 minutes before I realized I was talking to a justice of the Supreme Court, because he was such a humble, decent guy. You know, we were just talking about camping. He's a great camper. And
Michael Pack, what's next for you?
Well, I feel very, very strongly, and Roger knows this too, that we on the conservative side are doing a terrible job in documentaries and in storytelling media in general. We are really being outspent, outgunned, outproduced by the left, and have been for years. I always say that the left spends something like tens of billions of dollars just on nonfiction programming and small independent features a year. We spend tens of millions, 1,000 times less. Where we have a handful of documentary producers, they have hundreds and hundreds. And we cannot let them tell all the stories. You know, they are telling the story of the 60s, of the Cold War, of our founding, of the Civil War, of Lincoln. We can't let them tell all the stories. And it's on us, really. You know, they're expressing their views. They're getting out there. You know, they're doing what they should be doing. We have been backward in that. And I'm going to try to help change that. And we got a multi-year grant to do a bunch of new documentaries, but also I want to start an incubator to train young right-of-center filmmakers. There are really just not a lot of them out there, documentary makers, really. And, you know, that's our next project.
Michael Pack, co-author of Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. Thanks so much for joining us. Come back again, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. Good to speak to you also, Roger.
Hey, great to talk to you, as always.
All right. We'll be back with more. Chuck Fleischman joins us after this.